From Spark and Anvil and Clanecraft, this is Posit, in Chapter 1 of the Clanecraft cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. At a low table by the river shallows, an otter tween named Posit set a single card face up on the wood and then, very deliberately, took her paws off it. The card said, in her round handwriting, "The blue boat is faster than the red one." Around the table sat three other kids, all leaning in. "That's it?" one of them asked. "You're just going to leave it there?" "That's the whole point," Posit said. "I put it down, now anybody can look at it." The kid frowned. "But what if we say it's wrong?" "Then we find out together." Posit slit the card an inch toward the middle. "It's a card, not a fortress. I'm not standing on a wall defending it with a spear. I set it down so we can turn it over and see if it holds." A second kid pointed. "The red boat won the last three races, though." Posit did not flinch. She did not grab the card back. Instead, she pulled out a small notebook, her tracker, and wrote "Red won last three," right beside the claim, calm as anything. "Good, that's a real thing. Let's put it next to my card and see what happens to it." The three kids blinked at her. They had come ready for a fight, braced for someone to defend a corner. Instead, here was a small otter treating her own claim like a stone she'd found on the beach, happy to hold it up to the light, happy to hand it over, happy to set it down again if it turned out to be nothing special. "Doesn't it bug you," the first kid said slowly, "when we poke at it?" "You're poking the card," Posit said. "Not me."
Posit had not always known the card from herself. When she was small, she'd said something at supper, that otters were the best swimmers in the whole river, and her older cousin had laughed and named a fish that was faster. Posit's ears had gone hot, her chest had squeezed tight, and she'd heard herself getting louder, insisting, digging in, building the sentence into a wall she had to hold no matter what. By the end, she wasn't even sure she believed it anymore. She just couldn't let go, because letting go felt like losing a piece of herself. Her grandmother, who dealt cards on the porch every evening, had watched the whole thing. Later, she called Posit over and set one card on the table between them. "When you say a thing," her grandmother said, "you can hold it in your fist, like this." She closed her paw around the card, knuckles tight. "Nobody can see it. Nobody can check it. And if they reach for it, it feels like they're grabbing at you." She opened her paw and laid the card flat. "Or you can set it down. Then it's not in your body anymore. It's just an idea, out in the open, waiting to be looked at." Posit had stared at the flat card. The hot, tight feeling in her chest loosened a little. "The fish might really be faster," her grandmother said gently. "That doesn't make you smaller. It just means the card gets a note written on it." That was the night Posit stopped keeping her ideas in her fist.
She walked to the arena of reason when she was 12, because a place that studied arguments ought to understand the difference between a wall and a table. Logos, the old mentor who ran it, met her at the archway. He didn't test her strength. He asked one thing. "What is a claim?" Posit didn't answer with a speech. She reached into her vest, pulled out a claim card, and set it flat on the stone rail between them. Then she stepped back and laced her paws behind her, leaving it there, undefended, in plain view. "It's that," she said, "a card on the table, not a fortress." Logos looked at the little card sitting in the open, then at the otter who had let go of it so easily. "You are welcome here," he said.
Posit's workshop was full of ideas that people usually kept in their fists. A boy came in one afternoon, arms crossed, jaw set. He'd been in an argument all morning about which team was better, and he'd lost it. Not the argument, his temper. "They kept saying I was wrong," he muttered, "so I kept saying it harder." Posit knew that jaw. She'd worn it at a supper table once. "Say the thing you were defending," she said. "Just say it once, plain." "My team's the best." "Okay." She placed a blank card in front of him and held out a pencil. He hesitated, like setting it down might make it weaker. But he wrote it, and he laid flat. Now, Posit said, it's not in your chest anymore. It's on the wood. Look at it with me, like it belongs to neither of us. She tapped it. Is best about winning games? About playing fair? About being fun to watch? Which one did you mean? Winning, I guess. Then let's check the record together. She opened her tracker and started writing scores beside his card, and something changed in the room. He wasn't guarding a wall. He was leaning over a table next to her, examining a card, both of them curious about the same thing. Halfway through, he said, quietly, it's kind of close, actually. Maybe I overstated it. So slide the card back and sharpen it. She grinned. My team wins more close games. That's a card we could actually check. The old one was a fortress. This one's an investigation. The boy uncrossed his arms.
Later, when the workshop had emptied, he came back with one more question. He was gentler now. When you put a claim down like that, he said, and somebody proves it's wrong, doesn't it feel bad? Like you lost? Posit thought about the hot ears at the supper table, and the flat card under the porch light, and the loosening in her chest. It used to feel like losing, she said. Back when I kept my ideas in my fist. Then someone reaching for the idea felt like someone reaching for me, and I'd hold on so tight my whole body ached. She turned a card over slowly between her paws. But when it's on the table and someone finds a better answer, there's this unclenching, like setting down something heavy you'd been carrying without noticing. You don't feel smaller. You feel lighter, because now you know something truer than you did a minute ago, and it cost you nothing but a card. The boy nodded, and Posit watched his shoulders come down from around his ears. She didn't say the rest out loud, but she felt it, warm and sure. The tightest, most defended feelings are almost always the fist ones. Open the paw, set the card down, and the whole chest goes easy.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Posit. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.